Good morning.
Morning.
I see some of us got our clock set right. So it's good to have you in the Lord's house this morning. And maybe by next week it'll all seem normal and we'll just be used to this new time. Or do you ever get used to it? But it's good to be in God's house. No matter what time of day, he's here. You know, it's not going to be too long till we're going to be here earlier than this for an Easter sunrise service.
That's
right. Yep. So,
we'll be here even earlier.
Yeah, and those cooks will have us a good breakfast, and we'll be looking forward to that. But glad you're here. If anybody's listening later, in the parking lot or on the website, we pray that you'll just be blessed as you worship with us. May we pray. Father, it's good to be in your house today. Thank you for meeting us here. Lord, our desire at first is to worship you, just to let you know we love you. We honor you as our King, our Lord, our God, the one who is holy, holy, holy. The one is wisdom and knowledge and purity and gracious and merciful. Oh, Father, how we welcome the presence of the Lord in this place today. And Father, as we come before you, our second goal is to hear from you. And Father, may the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts through the music, the prayers, the scriptures, the message. Give us anointed ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to your church. And then, Father, give us the commitment to be obedient. Father, you know the needs of every person that's here and anybody that might be listening later. And so, Father, in your great wisdom, we pray that you'll minister to us according to what we need the most. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Pastor Ed, I agree. It's good to see you all sprung forward. So I feel like I'm a little unsprung. I don't know if that's a good word or not. Is it? I don't know if it works or not. But I don't know what. It takes me. You said about getting used to this. It takes me to the next time to get used to it. Then I have to change again. Mm-hmm. So, but that's all right. That's okay. It's good to see you all this morning. If you would please. Our hymn sing this morning is going to be the same one you did last Sunday, and I had it on my list. The pastor started it all, so I'm going to blame him on this thing, but this is a beautiful song, Nearer to the Heart of God, remember? As we all stand and sing together, okay?
There is a place of quiet rest.
please. It is a pleasure to seeing you all this morning. I want to thank Rita for a great job last week of taking care of things while I was away. If I'm not here, I'm in church somewhere. You can just count on that. And had a good service where we were. But I want to thank Rita for a good job, and we appreciate that. I have some announcements for you this morning. I want to share with you this morning. Today is going to be a busy day. I mean, we're going to start after the pastor preaches today. The Constitution Committee will be meeting, and we're meeting at 11. And then this afternoon at 5, the youth and the children will meet at 5, adult choir time. Let me challenge you on something on adult choir time, prayer time, excuse me. The prayer time is very, very important time. We're praying for God's leadership in our church. We're praying for God to be with the search committees that are out there working. We're praying for God in general to bless Barbie's Grove. Find time to come and join us if you would. And if you can't join us here, 5 o'clock, get on your knees and pray for this church, okay? Would you do that for me? I'd appreciate that. I think we need to do that. And then, of course, we'll have a church training. You will be at 5:30. The pastor will be conducting that. All right, as we continue on, we'll see that the church council has been rescheduled now, this for the second time, but it'll be third Sunday with the church council. So the new council members will be third Sunday, and it'll be 11 o'clock for the. Also, remember these the updates, the phone numbers, and you need to be sure if you've got a new phone or if you've got a new address, please get that in there. That way, we can get it down to our directory will be correct, and everyone can go forward. So you can see some updates that have already been put in the bulletin there. Now also, let's talk about Annie Armstrong. It is that time of Easter offering is coming up. Where pastors spoke a little bit, and already spoke a bit about Easter Sunday morning. Yes, it's coming up, and it's coming due. We're looking forward to it, but Annie Armstrong is also a very part of that. So we'll be collecting for the 2025 Annie Armstrong offering throughout the month of March and April. So you've got plenty of time to do that, so please be part of that. The theme of this year is Step Into the Story, okay? All right, are there any announcements that I may have overlooked? All right, well, that being the case, we'll go into prayer time. I have several that have been given to me. Yes, did someone mention? Oh, Tonda, I'm sorry, dear.
Yes. Very happy to
Wow.
We are still missing three baby bottles. So if you have a baby bottle, and whether it's full or not, that's fine. Just bring it back so that I can turn those back in to Pregnancy Resource. But I think they have had an overwhelming response this time, and I'm so thankful. I'm grateful to everyone for doing that and helping people as well.
Thank you, Tonda. That's beautiful. A great, great cause, and thank you all for your commitment to that. That's beautiful. All right, as we now transition to prayer time, I'm going to share with you the ones I have already. And Janice and Bobby Williams, as you know, Bob, they were in Florida at Janice's sister's birthday. I believe she's 90 years old. I believe that's right. Anyway, all the family had gathered down in Florida, and Janice and Bobby became sick, and Bobby very much so had to be entered the hospital. But I talked to Janice or by text last night, and she said they are coming back today. So that's good news that the doctor says Bobby's strong enough to travel, and so they are coming back today. So that's wonderful, good news, and yet we still need to pray for travel mercy for them. Jim and Janice, they're not here this morning. I talked with Jim, and Jim's got the flu, very sick, very sick. I didn't even know his voice at all when he was speaking. He said Janice had been sick as well, but Janice was recovered and feeling much better. But Jim is very ill still, so let's remember them, Jim and Janice. Let's remember the twins this morning, the Frick twins. They've lost their grandmother, Miss Betty Howell. Let's remember that family. And ladies, we love you, and you know that, don't you?
Yeah.
And anything we can do for you, we're there, okay? And Betty Davis, let's remember Betty Davis as she continues to convalesce and getting better at hers. So I think Betty, I've heard that she's got home planned to come home for Long Tonda. And so let's keep that in mind as well. Are there others that I need to know this morning? Yes, Robert.
The family of Irvin Malden.
Irvin Malden, okay. Okay.
In the back of the
log truck. Oh, yeah, I saw that in the paper. Yeah.
And also, special prayer for Donna Haycock. She's got pancreatic cancer, and now they found some other issues, and they don't know if they're going to do surgery or not.
Mm.
And Roger Eford, I got a call from his wife yesterday. He'll be coming home with hospice.
He's got cancer too, hasn't he?
I don't really know why.
Okay.
All his issues.
Well, no, hospice is... No? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Are there others?
Did you mention Tony?
Oh, you know what? I did not. I'm ashamed to say I did not. Tony Eford. Yes, that's right. We need to talk about Tony. Tony had a stent. He had a heart attack. And, right? And so... But Tony had a stent, and I believe he got to go home yesterday. Is that correct?
He has not gone home and got sure about today. The doctor hasn't been yet today. But they didn't have a rest tonight.
Oh, yes, let's remember Tony. Yes, Janice.
My friend Janice Stevens, she has a fractured bone in her leg.
Okay. Yeah. Scott Heller?
Yeah, we need to remember him. He's got a blood vessel issue in his temple area. And unspoken.
Okay, all right.
And two praise reports.
Okay, good.
Yep, my friend Colleen Barfield, she's the one that went into cardiac arrest a couple years
mm-hmm.
ago. A couple weeks ago, she went back into cardiac arrest due to flu and blood potassium and so I'm going to take her off. And then my friend Jimmy Breslin, who was right underneath her, he had a massive stroke, aneurysm, something, and he's got a TBI, but and very handicapped right now. They also found out he had colon cancer. He had a successful surgery on Friday. So just pray for him.
Wonderful.
Jimmy Breslin, and he had a good, like I said, had a good report.
Wonderful.
On the colon cancer, and hopefully we'll be on the mend.
It's always good to hear the praise reports. All right, are there others?
Unspoken.
Unspoken, okay. Then let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you today, first thing we want to say to you, Lord, is thank you, Lord, for the awesome God who you are. Thank you, Lord, that we could come to you and we can ask. And Lord, we know that you hear. And Lord, we know you're able. And we acknowledge that fact today. Then, Lord, as we come to you today, Lord, we also come to you asking. But, Lord, let us also, before we ask, to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings you've already given us this morning. As we look out in the congregation this morning and we see those that are here, they, Lord, were able to be here. And, Lord, not only that, they made a commitment to prioritize their time to be here. And we thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you for the blessings you've already given us. But then, Lord, there are those that, Lord, we've been asked to bring before you in petitions this morning. And, Lord, I want to do that. I want to start by asking your blessing upon Janice and Bobby Williams as they are continuing home today. We pray for traveling mercy, and we thank you, Lord, for health that we've been restored. Then, Lord, we pray for Brother Jim and Janice. Brother Jim, who has the flu, and Janice, who's recovering. We pray for them, Lord, we do. Then we pray, Lord, for the Betty Howell family. We pray for the twins, Lord, this morning, and such faithful members they are for this church. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to them. We ask your blessings upon them this morning. We ask a special blessing on the Irving Malden family, Lord. Donna Hathcock has been mentioned this morning with cancer. Roger Eford continuing to pray for him. And then, Lord, we lift up Brother Tony to you this morning, Lord, who, Lord, has had a heart attack and a stent has been put in. And, Lord, we're hoping and praying, Lord, that he will be able to come home very, very soon. But, Lord, we ask that you would touch his body and restore him, Lord, to a normal degree of health. We pray for Janice Eford as she's been lifted up to us this morning as well, for Scott Heller. And then, Lord, there have been several unspoken requests this morning. Now, Lord, we know that you know exactly what those needs are. And, Lord, we'd ask that you would fit a blessing to those needs. And, Lord, if you fit that blessing, it'll be a perfect one. We ask your help today. Then, Lord, we're so thankful to hear the praise report that Sister Kathy has given to us this morning. We, oh, so glad, Lord, we know that you're powerful and able. And now, Lord, as we go forward in the service today, we thank you, Lord, for Pastor Ed. We ask a blessing upon him as he comes and brings a message to us today. And, Lord, we're going to be very, very careful to give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise, because it is your name that we make this prayer, Jesus Christ. Amen. We have a lot of needs in our church, and God is able. Aren't you glad? Can I have an amen?
Amen.
I'm glad he's able. We're going to have a song this morning that I think is a beautiful song. It's one that it touches my heart every time I sing it. It's called Gentle Shepherd. He's a leader. He guides us. And all we have to do is ask him to help us show the way. Let's stand together and sing Gentle Shepherd.
Gentle.
he said, amen. Aren't you glad, Jesus? You may be seated.
You know, sometime yesterday or last night or this morning, you punched a few buttons or you flipped a dial and changed your clock. And sometime next fall, unless Congress does something, you'll do the same and reverse it. Do you ever think about that when you turned it up last night, you stepped into the future? Suddenly it was 3 o'clock instead of 2 o'clock if you went at the right time. And if you turn it back, you go back into the past. It's 3 o'clock and you go back to 2 o'clock. You know, time travel is something that's intrigued people forever. And there's been books written about it and movies made about it and TV programs made about it where people travel back into the past and do certain things, or they travel into the future and do certain things. And I think most of us, from time to time, wish we could go back, know what we know now, and could go back and do some things different. Now, occasionally somebody might marry a different person than the one they're married to. I know there's some investments I wish I'd have made back then. I didn't think I had the money, but, you know, I think of one that wouldn't have cost me but $25 a month. But, hey, when you're only making $400 a month, $25 was a big deal. And I think, man, if I'd have just done that 60 years ago, I might have had some money. Some of us might have taken better care of our health if we had gone back in the past. Most of us, I don't think, are as keen about going into the future because that can get a little scary. I read and it's fictional. It's not a true story. A guy that, you know, was asking to be able to go into the future. And so he was granted to go 1 year into the future. He grabbed a newspaper, immediately turned to the financial section, and started writing down all the stocks and what the price was, because he thought, when I go back to my regular time, I'm going to buy the stocks that jumped this year, and I'm going to make a fortune. And he was so excited about how much money he was going to make, and he says, he's folding up the newspaper, he saw his picture. Headline, prominent businessman dies. And under it was the obituary. Well, it wasn't such a big deal about making all that money after all, because a year from then he was not going to be here. Going back into the past or going into the future is something we think about from time to time. But with that in mind, let's look at a couple of passages of Scripture. First is Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything you be other minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Paul had a mindset that his goal was always to be looking forward. He says, I forget those things that are behind. You know, we can get stuck in the past. And if we get stuck in the past, we can really get ourselves into difficulty. There's people that get stuck in past victories. I had a teacher in high school, and this particular teacher never taught us much, because this particular teacher spent all the time in class talking about some competitions students of his 20 years ago won. And he'd go, and you know, I remember back in so-and-so in 1950 or 1955 or whatever, you know, and he'd talk about all of these things where these particular students had great success in some competitions. He never asked us about going to any competitions. I don't know whether they weren't in practice anymore or what, but he was stuck in the past and he never went forward. Now, sometimes churches get stuck in the past. We just keep thinking about back in the golden age when Brother so-and-so was pastor and the building was full. And it's not that way now, and no pastor measures up to Pastor so-and-so back in those days. And sometimes we allow those things in the past to hamper us what we need to do in the future. I think about when I was interim down at Troy. There's a certain number that was the limit that we seemed to reach in attendance. And one day I counted the parking spaces, and they were never going to get any more than that because they didn't have enough parking. Well, up 10 years ago when they built that parking, it was just like when I grew up at West Albemarle. West Albemarle had a little dinky parking lot when I grew up there. But hey, 200 or 300 people walked to church. And whenever they did show up, it was like Pam's mom, dad, and four kids in every car. Where these days, mama drives her car, daddy drives his car, and the teenager drives his car. And then how many of us, you know, are just like me and Leonard, you know, just one person per car. So a church needs a whole lot more parking these days than they did 50 years ago. And I kept telling them, Troy, you're never going to grow if you don't put some parking in. Well, I got a lot of resistance. They called the pastor, and I came here, and it wasn't long when he came up to me at some pastor at some meeting. He said, man, I sure appreciate you. Said, everything I've told them they need to do, they said, that's what Ed told us we need to do. And now they went out there and they paved some more parking. And they've got room for more people. The building would hold a whole lot more folks. But you know, you drive around, you can't find a place to park 2 or 3 Sundays in a row, you're going somewhere else. And a church can get stuck in the past by successes or failures. We individually can get stuck in the past by successes or failures. You think about the Apostle Paul. There were towns where he started churches, and it just seemed like God blessed and blessed and blessed. And there were towns that Paul went to, and he didn't stay long because they run him out of town trying to kill him. Well, Paul didn't quit because he had a tough time in this town or that town. And Paul didn't keep patting himself on the back because he planted a great church in another town. Paul says, I forget the past. I don't let the things in the past bother me or hold me back. I like in Proverbs 24, there's a verse that, verse 16, it says, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. He says, you know, if a man or a woman loves the Lord, got their heart in the right place, they may get knocked down a few times, but they're going to get right back up and keep going. Now, that was Paul. He was not tied up in the past. He said he was reaching forth for the will of God in his life. He says, I press toward the mark. You know, if you watch those races, especially something like the 100-yard dash, and you see those girls or guys, whichever's running that particular race, and they get close to that finish line, they're leaning forward, trying to be the first one to hit that tape at the finish line. They're pressing toward the mark. They're trying their best. Paul says, my goal is to keep following Jesus. Keep following Jesus. He says, he calls it a prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We learn from the past, but we don't stay there. Now, sometimes there are things in our past that we can go back and we can apologize, or we can go back and thank somebody. You know, there are times that we need to go back and say, you know, I'm sorry, I messed up. And sometimes we need to go back and say, you know, you were such a great Sunday school teacher, you were such a great leader, you were such a great friend, and thank somebody. But we don't get hung up in the past. Our goal at every stage in the life ought to be, what is the will of God? Paul says, he uses the word apprehend. Now, we use that word apprehend, you know, the police apprehended that crook. Paul says, God apprehended him. God got a hold of Paul on the road to Damascus, and Paul was never the same. And so Paul says, God had a will for me, talking about himself, and he said, I grabbed hold of God's will. You know, in everything we do in life, we need to be in the will of God. Some are called to preach. Some are called for other things. But whatever we're doing, we need to be in the will of God. You realize that if we're out of the will of God, it doesn't matter what we do, even if it's good. There's a passage in one of Paul's letters where he says, everything shall be tried by fire, and that which is wood, hay, and stubble will be burned up. And from time to time, I stop and think, Lord, how many of my sermons were wood, hay, and stubble, and how many of them were gold and silver and precious jewels? How many of the visits I made? How many of the other things I did, Lord, were wood, hay, and stubble, and how many of it was precious in your sight? The goal of every one of us, whether we're 8 years old or 18 years old, or 78 years old, ought to be, God, what's your will for me? And to stay in the will of God, to stay in God's will. As best we can discern it and hear it, and as best we can obey it. You know, you're special to God. And at some point, God apprehended you. He reached down and he took a hold of your heart. And you became a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God didn't just save you to put you on a shelf somewhere. God saved you so that you can be a vital part of his kingdom. And whatever you are, God wants you to be that. You remember several places in the Bible it talks about, especially in Paul's letters, he talks about the body of Christ. And he says, you know, not everybody's an eye, not everybody's an ear, not everybody's a nose. We're all different. He said, if we were all one giant eyeball, it'd be gross, grotesque. But you know, you put all the features together and you can get beauty or handsome. And God has a plan for you. God has ways he wants you to minister for him. He has ways he wants you to glorify Jesus. God has dark places where he wants you to be the light of the world. God has places where he wants you to show forth Jesus. Paul says, listen, I press toward the mark for a prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And Paul didn't mind. I mean, you know, if you think about at the end of the book of Acts, where Paul's on his way back to Jerusalem for the celebration of the Passover. And everywhere Paul stops, somebody says, Paul, they're going to arrest you down there and put you in jail. Paul says, doesn't matter. I'm seeking the will of God. And they did arrest him. And Paul had already planned on going to Rome. And he didn't have to ask his partners to send him. The Roman government sent him. The devil paid for Paul to go to Rome to witness. It's just interesting. Paul was seeking the will of God. And even if it meant he was going to be arrested and later shipwrecked, he was still in the will of God. And when he got to Rome, he was in the will of God. Now, I'm sure Paul was human and he probably missed it a time or two. But Paul says, I forget what's the past and I press on. I'm seeking to know the will of God in everything I do. And that's so important. That's not just for preachers. Oh, you're called to preach, fantastic. No, you're called to be a deacon. You're called to be a Sunday school teacher. You're called to be a youth leader. You're called for this, that, or the other. Whatever it is. You know, we're all important. I'll pick on Gary and Greg. It doesn't matter how good a preacher I am if they turn people off when they come in the door. But if they make people feel welcome when they come in the door, I'm making mess up in a sermon and folks still feel welcome. And I kid Wes ever so often that all he's got to do is flip a little button or switch and this microphone goes dead and you can't hear me. We're all got a place to in the kingdom of God. Seek it. Seek it. And don't ever think, I've done my bit and I quit. I hadn't quit, and Kenny Wallace hadn't quit either. You know? Kenny and I just like, we can't imagine not getting up preaching.
Praise God.
Yeah. And there are others. You know, I don't see a place in the Bible where it says, thou shalt retire at age 60. Thou shalt sit on the pew and vegetate at age. No, it says, Paul says, I keep pressing. I keep pressing. I keep pressing. Now, there's another scripture I want us to look at, and that's in James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And every time I read this, I think of a passage in Shakespeare that I had to memorize for some reason in some class at some point. James chapter 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that doeth knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. There's an arrogance that says, I'm going to do it my way, in my time, and my place of choosing. Hey, I'm going to such a city. I'm going to engage in a certain business, and I'm going to make some money. And James says, no, whoa, 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 wait a minute here. You should say, what's God's will? Am I going to be alive to get to that city? He said, don't boast. Seek the will of God. Seek the will of God. And when we're in the will of God, he's going to bless us. He's going to provide for us. He's going to direct us. He's going to give us an anointing. And we're not going to have to do everything in our own strength, our own power, our own abilities. There's a supernatural that comes upon those who are in the will of God. And he says, don't get arrogant and think, how does the poem go? Master of my fate and captain of my soul. I'm not the master of my fate. Neither are you the master of your fate. We're all human. Whether we live or die, it belongs to the Lord. Where we go or don't go, we need to be in the will of God. I come back around to being in the will of God. He said, when we're in the will of God, we're not boasting. There's a humility that says, God, you're on the throne. I want to be in your will. God, you direct my paths. I come in, and I mention this, you know, about once a month, where Paul is in the place and he says, we essayed or we tried to go over here to minister, and Holy Spirit says, you don't go there. So we backed up and we said, well, we'll just go over here. Holy Spirit says, no, you don't go over there either. And then Paul says, well, now what are we going to do? And then Paul had the vision, come over to Macedonia and help us. And Paul says, oh, the Lord wants us over there in Macedonia. You see, Paul was led by the Spirit, and it made a difference. I'm thinking about a missionary friend, Colombia, Venezuela, Ecuador, South America. And sometimes we think, you know, it's sure hard to drive across town to visit and witness to somebody. I got his newsletter this week. I may read part of it to the church training class tonight, if time permits. To get from where he lives to one of the tribes that he ministers to, where they're working, 17-hour walk. And they cross the river 70 times. And says the natives don't wear shoes. Says they said they just, their feet are just so tough from walking that. Said he's bought them boots, but they're afraid to get them dirty, so they just. And he said, one trip coming back from there, he had his boots tied on the mule because he used mules to carry the supplies, and somehow or another in crossing the river, his boots disappeared. He got washed down the river. Said he was wearing some kind of sandals. And said in crossing the river later, he got swept away and the sandals disappeared. And with his tender feet, he said to walk home was terrible. Said he gave him a new appreciation for those natives. Next time you start complaining about, God, that's so hard, I can't do that, think about walking 17 miles, 17 hours, crossing the river 70 times to share the gospel with people that have never heard it before. Now, he's in the will of God. I thank God I'm not down there with him. I thank God he didn't call me down there. But I have to say, Lord, what's your will for me? Where do you want me to minister? Paul says, I forget the past. I'm still pressing. I'm still going. I'm still seeking the will of God. As long as there's one more lost person out there. Paul talks about in later in his books and letters and in Acts about saying, I want to go where the gospel has never been preached. I'm not satisfied to be around here where there's church on every corner. I want to go where the gospel has never been preached. Paul's goal was to reach out and share Jesus as far as he could. And I guess if Paul had known that the United States, you know, North America existed, he might, when he got to Spain, he might have got on a boat and tried to get here if the Holy Spirit had led him. Forgetting the past, we press on. Not in arrogance, saying, I'll do my own thing, but in saying, Lord, what's your will? Lead me. Lead me. And when Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of John, he talks about the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And you know, this is one of the wonderful things about being a child of God. We don't have to do it on our own. And we don't have to do it shot in the dark, blind. If we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, he will lead us step by step. And he will empower us step by step. A couple of weeks ago, I wrote about the old kerosene lanterns. They're not like a flashlight. You might hold it up and you might see a few feet in the front of you, but that kerosene lantern's only going to give you a step or two at a time. But when you take that step, there's another one and another one, another one. And sometimes, you know, you wish the Lord would just tell me, Lord, what am I going to be doing 10 years from now? But if we follow him step by step, we'll get where he wants us to be. And he'll be a blessing to us, and we'll be a blessing to others. Are you in God's will? Is what you're doing right now in the will of God for your life? We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. If there's somebody here that needs to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we invite you to do that. If there's somebody that just needs to come to the altar and pray about God's will for their life, we invite you to come. If there's other decisions you need to make, something you need to share with me, would you come as we sing?
As we stand, please, only trust Him.
Let me share one other thing. I think you'll find it interesting. He's talking about the missionary in South America. Right now, that tribe to which he's working, they have to walk 1 3/10 miles to a spring to get water. Now, you can imagine walking to Kenny's house with a bucket and filling it up with water and walking back over here. For everything you drink, everything you wash with, cook with, whatever. It's unreal. And right now he's got a project in the newsletter he sent. These mules have big rolls of plastic pipe, look like they're about that big around, and they're going to pipe water from that spring down to that village, that 1 3/10 miles, so that those people have water without having to walk that far. Now, unreal. Unreal. And sometimes we think we have it tough. Folks, thank God you live in America. Thank God we have what we have. Be grateful for what we have. We are so blessed. So blessed. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your blessings. Now may the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen.